Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Escape from Freedom. I'm your host, Nadia Shamsuddin. Glad that you're with me this morning. I want to have a little bit of a different kind of show today. I'm going to be talking very briefly about Ron Paul, some follow-up on that. But I wanted to talk with you today about what it is and how it is that we come to believe the things that we believe. Because it's important to examine that process. We have a lot of people in our lives that we care about that we want to shake sometimes and say, don't you see what's going on? Can't you open your eyes? Can't you wake up? And so I want to talk about that, and I want to encourage you to call when we get into that discussion, because I'd like some feedback. Maybe you have some insight and some wisdom about how you have helped other people wake up to the reality of what's going on, and just simply, perhaps you're just simply someone who has a love for the truth, and you have an extraordinary story about an experience that you had, or someone that you know who facilitated your arrival at a place in your life where you embrace the truth, you have a love for the truth. So I'll be taking your calls today, and our number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Sorry about that. So, but first I wanted to read to you an email that I got from Ron Paul. I'm on that list, as many of you probably are. And he says, the DC neocons think their old dream is about to come true. They think they can defeat me in the Republican congressional primary in Texas on March 4th. And you know what? They may be right. My opponent, who describes himself as a traditional conservative, is as dedicated a servitor of all the special interests who have given us the disaster of recent years, from unconstitutional wars to a looming recession, from huge deficits to massive new welfare programs. A Republican operative allied with the worst forces in D.C. recently said, "Give me what you can," implying to Ron Paul's opponent. Ron Paul is running scared, he says, using his presidential campaign donors' money to subsidize a desperate last-minute attempt to save his congressional seat, unquote. That is a lie, of course. It is illegal to use presidential campaign donations in my congressional race. The congressional campaign has to stand on its own, but so far we have raised only about a third of what a well-funded effort would need. In my 10 years in Congress, I have not only been able to serve my constituents and help them, for example, negotiate federal red tape, I've also been able to defend our principles of less spending, lower taxes, no inflation, and strict adherence to the Constitution. Some people in D.C. laugh at the idea that I should obey my oath of office and ask first of any proposed legislation, is it constitutional? But I know that you share my support for the vision of the framers. My friend Congressman Wayne Gilchrist was just defeated in his primary election by a neocon fraud similar to the one I face. If I am defeated in the upcoming congressional primary, our ideas will be held to have been defeated as well. It will be claimed from the rooftops in D.C. that ridiculous and outmoded notions as a free market are through. We're going to take our first break, and I'll read you the rest of this when we get back. Stay tuned.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
And before the break, I was sharing with you an email that the Ron Paul campaign has sent out, and he was discussing his defense now for his House seat that's being contested. And he says that his friend Wayne Gilchrist was just defeated in the primary election by a neocon fraud similar to the one I face. My friend Walter Jones, a Republican from North Carolina, is under heavy pressure as well. People like our hand-picked opponents will do anything to gain and keep power, he says. They represent everything that is wrong in D.C. If I am defeated in the upcoming congressional primary, our ideas will be held to have been defeated as well. It will be proclaimed from the rooftops in D.C. that such ridiculous and outmoded notions as free market, sound money, personal liberty, limited government, and pro-American foreign policy are through. I am determined not to let this happen, and that you and I believe in is far too important to the future of our country and to everyone and everything we love to let the neocons dance on its grave. Please help me stop the lies, the distortion, the pressure groups, the special interests that benefit from D.C. ripoffs. There is still time to run radio and TV ads, to set up phone banks, and to get out the vote. But unless you help, my re-election to Congress may be in jeopardy. Please help me return to Congress to fight for the people of my district and for the ideas that can save our country from the path to trouble we are now on. I hesitated to ask you, since you've already done so much, but my wife Carol said, quote, "When you need help, you ask your best friends." So I do ask to hold out your hand in support. Please give today as generously and as quickly as you can. Sincerely, Ron Paul. And one other aspect of that I wanted to share with you is, I had a question about what's going to happen with all of the sort of grassroots organizations that had been created in the process of his bid for the presidency. And I emailed a gentleman who's a leader of one of the groups here where I live, and I said, what's going to happen to all the people and all the groups since the presidential campaign has now ceased and he's going to concentrate his efforts now on his congressional seat? What will happen to the movement? And the email that I got in response was that they will continue to keep meeting. And he said, most all revolutionists know that this is not just about the Ron Paul presidential campaign, that it is a movement which needs to continue if we have any hope of reforming America through the political process. And so I just wanted to pass that along to you today. I wanted to encourage you to continue to be involved with whatever group that you may have joined in the struggle to bring Ron Paul to the presidency. But it was always more than that, I think. It was a platform for him to present ideas that are not new ideas, but they sound new because they've been abandoned for so long a time. So I would encourage you to get involved in a group. If you haven't already signed up with one, go to the meetup.com. Now, I gave that to you earlier, but this gentleman says that he thought that it was somewhat technically flawed and that the meetup.com network was quite limited. So they've set up a Google network group, so you can go to Google and find a group in your area. And there's also another website that they've put up called ronpaulambassadors.com. So I wanted to get back to the main thing that I want to discuss with you today, and that's about how we believe and how we come to believe, which is a complex process. As we grow up, we have a myriad of influences and experiences in our life that lead us to a place of belief. Now, some people will say, well, if you grew up in a Christian family, then, you know, pretty much you're going to be a Christian. Or if you grew up in a Buddhist family, that's what you're going to believe. Not always necessarily. In fact, one of my mentors is Eric Fromm, the great thinker whose book, Escape from Freedom, I have named my show after. He grew up in a strict Jewish Orthodox family, but completely rejected all that and began on a journey for himself to seek truth and reality outside of what he had been conditioned to believe his entire life. So as we talk about how it is that we come to believe, you know, there are circumstances that may arise in our life that sometimes cause us to change the ideas and change the way that we believe certain things. And I think it's important to examine ourselves in light of how it is that we think the way we do, because in all seriousness, we need to be helping others wake up. You know, so much social, economic, and political change is coming in America, and we want to help people that we care about be prepared. That's why I do this show on RBN. That's why everyone does the show that they do on RBN, because they're committed to the dissemination of truth. You know, we feel like we're sort of swimming against the tide. There's this enormous wade of misinformation and disinformation out there, and we're just these little fish trying to swim upstream and say, wait a minute, you know, we're not going to go with the flow with everyone else. There is an alternate reality. I don't know if any of you ever saw the movie City of Angels, but in that film, Meg Ryan meets a man who talks to her about God and angels, and she says, well, I don't believe in those things. I don't believe in that. So the man takes her hand and tells her to close her eyes. He then moves his finger across the palm of her hand and says, what are you doing? He says to her, what am I doing, rather? And she says, you're touching my palm. And he asks her, how do you know that? She says, because I can feel it. Well, not every experience we may have in life has a tangible experience to it. Sometimes we do feel something, but it's not necessarily a physical sensation per se, but a hunch or a gut feeling. Something in our spirit is touched with a sense of knowing something. And sometimes that can be kind of feel a little bit more concrete than what we see and what we hear. But in this way of knowing, we come to believe a kind of interpretation of what it is that we're feeling. So as humans, we observe and we analyze and we integrate into our reasoning pretty much two things, or two basic things that we use to integrate into the process of what we come to believe, and that is patterns that we observe and causal relationships. We come to believe certain things in the world in stages. As we live in certain circumstances over time, we tend to come to some conclusions about what we believe. But what we believe may not always be reality, may not always be the truth. For instance, let's say a child is repeatedly beaten by a parent. In addition, that parent is critical of the child. Over time, that child will come to believe that perhaps all parents or all adults don't like me, and the poor child may one day conclude, I'm no good. Nobody likes me. The big people in my life don't affirm me, and they tell me that I'm a bad person just basically through the way that they treat me. But this is not the case. This isn't reality. In reality, it's the parent who's messed up. It's the adult who is screwed up. But the child begins to live a script or a role that has been assigned to him by the abusive parent, and the child begins to believe what he feels, and as a result of what he believes about himself, he begins to act. He acts out of that role that has been assigned to him. And so our beliefs are based on pretty much our early experiences, and they're formed first in the family unit, and then beyond that, however way that society either confirms or rejects our preconceived ideas about ourselves, sometimes the world may challenge what we believe about ourselves. And sometimes those challenges help us wake up. And so, you know, we need to kind of understand this whole process of what it is to awaken to the truth, awaken to the reality. Now, I want to share with you a story. A few years ago, I was visiting a church on a Sunday morning, and the church pastor came out, and he said, "We have a very special guest today, and I'm happy to tell you that I'm excited because he's a wonderful writer, and many of you have read his books, and I know that you will join me in welcoming Rick Warren." And so everybody jumps to their feet except me. I don't think much of him or his work. But anyway, everyone jumped to their feet and started applauding and cheering and clapping. And then the pastor said, "Okay, everybody sit down." So everybody sat down, and the pastor began to tell everyone that, no, Rick Warren really isn't here. And everybody was, you could hear this sort of corporate what? Groaning. But the pastor went on to say, "I just wanted to show you what happens when you believe a lie. Look at how you responded when you believed something that wasn't true." And so as people started thinking about that, because I talked with some of the people that had been in the church that day about it, the way that they felt themselves about something that wasn't true was pretty astounding. So we're going to finish with this and take your calls when we get right back. Stay with us.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back to the program. I want to continue with this discussion today, and I do encourage your calls at 800-313-9443. I'm getting a little philosophical with you today because I believe this is an issue that is important to process and to understand how it is we come to believe the things we do and what can happen and what can we make happen in the lives of other people that can help them come to the knowledge and the love of the truth. And before the break, I was telling you the story about what happened in a church when people responded to something that wasn't true. And it is it's a fact that our behaviors do stem from what we believe. And as I said earlier in the program, here at RBN, our commitment is to bringing you to the truth so that you, the audience, may make a judgment about the world. Now, of course, every news outlet makes the same claim, but here's the thing. Are the major networks really a free press? Now, I'll give you an example. On CNN, during the primaries, they displayed a pie chart of some of the percentages of the returns for each candidate. And when they were divvying up the votes, they put Richardson on the board. Now, he only had 2%, a pathetic 2%, but he was on the board. He was noted on the pie chart. But our friend of Liberty, Ron Paul, got about 8 or 9% of the vote, and he wasn't even noted on the board. So to the non-critical thinker, to the unsuspecting masses, they would conclude that Paul was not worth even mentioning. And that was precisely what CNN wanted the masses, to think. So why aren't Americans more politically savvy? And why do the majority of the people in America believe a lie? You know, we would all do well to remember what is taught at the farm at Langley, Virginia, where the CIA trains its people. The first lesson that they are taught is nothing, absolutely nothing, is what it appears to be. Now, if we all had our parents when we were 2 years old sit down and tell us this, you know, it might have wrecked our sense of imagination and creativity, but at some point in life, I wish I had known this a lot earlier, because it was, my awakening was a long process. It took years. There were a number of very important people in my life who influenced me. The writer Mark Lane, whom I came to know while I was working in Washington, the author of Rush to Judgment and Plausible Denial. And, you know, Rush to Judgment was a real treatise on confronting all the exclusions of very important evidence that the Warren Commission excluded. And they did come to a rush to judgment about the JFK assassination. But Victor Marchetti, a former CIA official who wrote the book, The CIA and the Cult of Intelligence, was also very instrumental in opening my eyes to the reality of how effective and how powerful behind-the-scenes intelligence agencies, not just the CIA, but other intelligence agencies, and how they control what we think and what we hear. So I just want to challenge you today to consider who were the people in your life that helped you wake up. And think about that process of what they did for you, and how can you turn around and help wake up someone else. We have a caller on the line, Bill in New York. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Good morning, Bill. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Is this Miss Shamsuddin?
That's right.
Am I pronouncing that correct?
Shamsuddin. Yes, Bill. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing much. You were talking about Dr. Ron Paul, and I was down in Aruba at a seminar in 1997, and he came down and he spoke to us, and that was mind-boggling at the time. And it's rather interesting that Senator John McCain at one time said about Ron Paul is the most honest man in Congress. And I often thought that, gee, that's a sad thing for John McCain to say that, because if he had been honest, he should have been able to say, other than myself, he's the most honest man in Congress.
Yeah, what irony, huh?
Yes, Dr. Paul has often said he is the messenger, not the message.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I don't know. Am I breaking up with you?
We have had some technical problems this morning, but I would encourage you to hold on. We're going to go to another break, Bill. And if you would stay on the line, we'll continue to talk when we get back. Stay tuned.
Okay, and I'll change my phone.
All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad you're with us. Bill, are you still with us on the phone?
I sure am.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. We've had a little bit of technical difficulty, but I think we fixed it. So you were telling us a story about McCain having actually at one point having said something good about Ron Paul.
Right.
How things change. Yeah, you're breaking up.
Oh, okay, hold on.
Okay. I guess he's going to change phones.
I went back to another phone.
There you go. I think I can hear you better now. Did you have a story that you wanted to share with us about someone that was instrumental in your life that kind of helped you wake up to the truth?
Well, you know, my parents, very loving, kind parents, but not any one person, but several things that went along in my lifetime. I've noticed that if you try to change yourself, as you go about changing yourself, you influence people around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. That's right.
So I can remember, I worked at Kodak. I told you I'm upstate New York. And I've retired from Kodak, and a long time ago, I noticed that going to the break, into the break room, everybody's sitting down at the table. As soon as one person got up, everybody started talking badmouth about the person that just left. Well, it didn't take me long to realize that when my turn to leave, I'm sure that they were badmouthing So I figured I was going to stop doing this myself because I joined in with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to stop doing it. And so when Joe left and everybody started down-mouthing Joe, I'd say, well, you know, Joe helped you this morning on this tricky problem, and, boy, I sure appreciated it. Didn't take me long, and I was sitting by myself. But then again, after a while, people started coming back, and instead of talking about Joe or Mary or Jim, we started talking about sports and movies and that. So that had an effect on me.
Well, and that's one of the things that I was going to talk about is a paradigm shift. And because you refused to continue to engage in something destructive, gossip, of course, is destructive, but you decided to just talk about things that were positive and uplifting, you had a paradigm shift yourself, and then you caused that for other people. And that's wonderful. Well, I appreciate your call this morning, Bill, and I appreciate your listening.
Oh, thank you very much.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, and you know, maybe you need to ask ourselves, what was our epiphany? And Webster's Dictionary defines an epiphany as a sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. It's also an intuitive grasp of reality through an event. It could be simple or it could be striking. And the third connotation in Webster's is an illuminating discovery, a realization or disclosure or a revealing moment in your life. And we have another caller, Mark from Minnesota. Mark, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, when you read that from Webster, is that in 1828 that you read that from?
No, I think that's a more recent publication than that. And I know where you're going because it has evolved, right?
Well, I was always told that if you want to basically understand the English language, which I, being American, have a hard grasp on that, but. From a biblical standpoint, the 1828 was written from the definitions Noah obtained from the Bible. That's my understanding of that. But you talk about experiences or where a guest that you had a few weeks on, I was surprised when you say someone woke you up or at least gave you a sight was Stan Johnson. I used to go down to the Prophecy Club years and years when they had it in Minnesota, mm-hmm. down in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
And just different people, and it's just like... I remember a guy talking about, like, black helicopters and surveillance towers, and I came home and I told my brother, and I said, hey, this guy was, you know, a little bit, a little bit far to the right. And probably 5-6 years later, I was driving down the highway north of the cities, just north of Malacca, and all of a sudden, there was exactly what he showed me, you know, 5-6 years later. That, and it's like, gosh, you know, the things that that come along that kind of wake you up as you go along in life. And I think there's a denial period before there's a deep breath where you can actually start to absorb or not have the deer in the headlights look.
Well, yes, and there was a famous philosopher years ago who said that truth passes through three phases. And that first it is absolutely rejected, and then it's scrutinized, and then it's accepted as being self-evident. And so what you're describing is what I've been talking about. You have an exposure to the truth, and then it is, no matter how much time later, it is confirmed through experience. And I love the quote that says, a person with an experience is not at the mercy of a person with an argument. And sometimes people want to argue with things, but they don't even know anything about. You're the one who's had the experience. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like experiential knowledge, is there? I mean, you can read something, you can hear something, but boy, if you've experienced it, you really know it to be true. Is that correct?
Yeah. Or like you say, it's exposure or the, or at least the seed that's been planted before you actually can, you know, kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Well,
or come to some conclusion of your own besides, you know, what you've been fed all your life.
Right, right. And that comes through a process, and it's in layers. And sometimes we end up being having a complete departing from the thing that we have been inculcated into us growing up. It can be religion or philosophy. It can be lifestyle. It can be the way that we have come to believe things about ourselves as well. So I appreciate your call this morning,
Thank
Mark,
you very
and
much.
I appreciate your listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, people do need a paradigm shift sometimes in order to see reality. And take, for instance, a lot of Christians in America that want to claim that they have a love for the truth, but in fact they're not really seeking the truth at all. They're just looking for someone to agree with them, and they don't examine much of what they hear on television or read in Christian books or hear from the pulpit. They don't go to the source themselves and discover it for themselves. They take it at face value what is being told to them. But, you know, in discussing some of these things that we believe, you know, I'll look back at the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages before that, and, you know, if we look back now, we can say, my God, they had some very strange beliefs. For instance, they believed that bathing brought on death. They failed to see the causal relationship between getting a chill and developing pneumonia and dying. They just knew that if you took a bath, you could die. Another example is lies within all the teachings of Aristotle, who at one time was thought to be a man who knew everything. And then came along a man named Galileo, who started to contradict much of what people had believed from Aristotle's teachings. And Galileo so infuriated the church by saying that the earth was not the absolute center of the universe, and the church summarily committed him to house arrest for the rest of his life. The church had so much power in those days that they could squash anything, anytime anyone colored outside the lines. It didn't matter whether or not it happened to be truth for the established church at that time. Whatever the church said was the reality. And there was such an awakening within Galileo and from the things that he discovered to be true through experimentation and observation and testing of different theses. He came to the knowledge of the truth, but it took a long time for people, and he was quite a lonely man. There weren't many people in his generation and during his time who rallied around him. And the other strange thing that they believed about witches, and if you happened to be accused of being one, there was a test to see if you really were a witch. So they would dunk a woman in a trough of water, and if she floated to the top and lived, she was guilty. But if she drowned, she was proclaimed innocent. It's insane logic. Doesn't even make sense. So you were pretty much damned if you did or if you didn't, based on the fact whether or not you were accused of being a witch. So, you know, in reality, we must see ourselves as rational beings, or rather, we really want to. We desperately want to see ourselves as rational, but we are emotional and we're passionately spiritual at times. And I think this is pretty much the essence of the human dilemma. We want to see ourselves as rational, but we're not. And so we have messages coming to us from so many different stimulus, especially now in the age of technology and information. I don't know what the numbers are. I've read them in the past, but it's astounding the number of messages that the brain is bombarded with just in a single day between radio, television, now the internet, billboards, magazines, newspapers. mail that you get, junk mail that you get. It's everywhere. Someone is trying to persuade you of something all the time. And what you believe is constantly being challenged. Whether you are aware of it or not, you are being challenged for what you have for a long time you thought you were convinced of. And the gentleman, the caller we just had, was referring to a guest that I had on the show a couple of weeks ago, Stan Johnson, who has an organization called the Prophecy Club. And it's an interesting mix of public speakers that they have. And they videotape the speakers, and you can buy their videos. And many of them are these brilliant men. Al Cuppet, who was on the chairman, who was on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, talking about black ops, and may have been what the gentleman who called in was referring to. But it's an interesting collection of speakers who for a long time have devoted their life to research. They've also come from the CIA and the FBI and other government agencies where they've said, you know what, this is wrong. Something's not right here. The government is systematically programming the people to think a certain way, and I'm going to come out of this, and I'm going to say what I can say and do what I can do to help bring some enlightenment to people. So that group is interesting, and I would encourage you to find out a little bit more about it. Prophecyclub.com, I think, is a website, and I don't agree with everything that their political stance or their religious stance on Christian Zionism. I don't agree with that, and they're kind of big on that. I know Stan Johnson is really big on that. But everything else that he does in creating a very interesting and lively forum to bring these people together to discuss some of the things that you're not going to hear in the mainstream media, I think is very important. And that's what I want to do with my show. I want my show to be a forum. I want people to come together and to reason and to think and discuss. I know sometimes it may appear, and sometimes I wonder, I have guests on my show, and I agree with pretty much everything they say. Maybe I should have a little bit more controversy on my show. Maybe I should have some people on that maybe I don't agree with, and we can get a pretty good argument going. But I tend not to lean in that direction. I tend not to be a person who likes to argue in an atmosphere of animosity. But I do love an intellectual debate. And I think that's important because I think it forges in the debates, in the arguments with people that are positive. I think it forges and somewhat confirms those things that we believe. Now, I wanted to give you another idea of how different humans have changed, and how the process over time of the way we think has changed based on how the world has changed. Now, for instance, if you were able to travel back in time, you were able to go on Mr. Peabody's Wayback Machine, and you met a man, let's say about 250 years ago, and you were talking to him, and you said, well, I'm flying to New York in the morning, but I'll come back tomorrow night. God, what would the man say? I mean, he'd think you're insane. But if you were able to show him, if you were able to demonstrate to him some of the ideas of aerodynamics or Bernoulli's principle, or perhaps you could show him an aircraft and he could see with his own eyes that there actually was a mechanism that could physically transport you in a short amount of time across a long geographic distance, then he would believe. But he doesn't have enough information. And of course, the obvious thing here in the story is that those things hadn't been invented yet. But the point of my telling the story is to demonstrate that when someone doesn't have enough information to make a summary judgment, to make a calculated judgment about something, how can we expect them to believe the truth? And that's part of what we do here. That is my commitment to this show, is to bring you the truth about what's going on in the world and to challenge you, to challenge yourself about what it is you believe. It's good to actually think sometimes, boy, you know, I'm not so sure about that anymore. I lived with that for a long time, but gosh, you know, come to think of it, I'm not so sure that believing that way was really a good idea. And so we have one more caller on the line, Davey from Texas. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nadia.
Well, I got some feedback. Well, I had a couple of points I wanted to address with you.
Well, would you stay with us on the line? Because we're going to go to a break here in just a few seconds, and I want to hear what you have to say this morning. So if you would stay with us, we're going to take a quick break, come back to our last segment, and we'll have a wrap up this discussion, Davey. Hold on.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back to the program. And before the break, we had a caller. Davey, are you still with us on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, what did you want to share with us today?
Well, I basically just wanted to hit the highlights there. I kind of see it, you know, when you talk about that word epiphany, I guess some of us are not restricted to just one epiphany. I guess once you have one, eventually you might stumble onto another and then another, and, you know, one thing leads to another, and you're climbing up that mountain of truth, and you can see farther and farther out. But eventually you come to the realization on this planet there's people that act in good faith and those people that act in bad faith. And
I agree with you 100%.
You know, have you ever seen that book, Encyclopedia of the Palestine Problem by Isai Naqvi?
I've heard of it. I've not read it.
Well, it's online, you know, and the bottom line is we got a group of people here that claim to act in good faith, and you brought up the issue of Christian Zionism. There's a post today on Jeff Rensite site says, why are Jews persecuted? But you know who Vendel Jones is, Nadia?
No. No.
Well, he, like the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones. Anyway, he's here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he's been over to the Palestine and rummaged around over there. I personally don't like the guy because of what he's actually done, but he had a film one time. He went over there and went to Gilgal, and he found the stones at Gilgal using a ground-penetrating radar. Are you familiar with the story at Gilgal?
Is that something in the Old Testament? Because it sounds familiar, but I don't know.
Yes, ma'am. That's where the children of Israel crossed the River Jordan, and they carried 12 stones across the river.
Right.
And the issue becomes when people start looking at what makes somebody Jewish is, well, let's see when we can find the first Jew in the Old Testament. And the fact is that, you know, when they were in Egypt, there weren't any Jewish people there. When they crossed the River Jordan at Gilgal, they carried 12 stones. None of those tribes thought of themselves as being Jewish because they hadn't been to Babylon to get the Talmud. You can't have Jews until you have the Talmud. But when they crossed that River Jordan at Gilgal and carried those 12 stones across there, and that's where God Almighty divided the land there between the 12 tribes, and Levi didn't get any because they were to tend to the temple. All right? Now, can we...
Well, you're bringing up a really interesting... a very interesting argument, which actually could constitute an entirely different show, and we're running out of time. We have just about 30 seconds.
Basically, the issue becomes, you know, who's operating in good faith when we want to get down to talking about what the facts actually are. Before we go on a big, long, emotional roller coaster ride, let's just get the facts on the table.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's exactly what I was getting at. When we need sufficient information, viable information, in order to make the proper conclusions. And so many people just accept what they hear from the pulpit and from the television and never test it against anything else. And that is the essence of what I was getting at this morning. You know, what is it that brings people to a place of either staying asleep and just listening to what they hear and not testing anything for themselves? Or what is it that helps people to realize, well, there's more to this picture. There's got to be something else more. And frankly, Davey, I think some of it is innate. I think there are some people who are just wired a certain way to follow the masses and be a sheeple. And there are other people that say, you know, I've got to know more.
Well, you know, Nadia, you bring up an interesting...
I hate to cut you off, Davey, but we're running out of time, and I so appreciate your calling. I always appreciate your calls, Davey. So,
thanks. Have a good day.
Call in time when we have more time, but we're running out of time today. But I hope I've challenged you today to do some things, and do some thinking, rather, and help other people shift the way they think of the world. And that's all I have for today, and as always, I leave you with this thought: the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. I'll see you tomorrow.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season.
Hey, honey, I'm home.